make. Now, India has successfully landed a spacecraft near the moon's south pole. But why do I mention the film? Because they were able to do so for less money than it cost to make the film Interstellar, which I think is really quite a remarkable achievement. So an Indian spacecraft has landed on the moon, the space agency said, and a mission seen as crucial to lunar exploration and India's standing as a space power, sparking celebrations and applause among technical or technicians guiding the mission. David Moore is editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine and joins us now. How are you getting on, David?
Fantastic. Lots of things happening in space. Lots of things happening in Ireland as well.
Well, we'll talk about that. But first, this is a remarkable achievement out of India, isn't it? And why is it so remarkable, actually?
Well, because they're only the fourth nation that's ever landed on the moon successfully. They did try 4 years ago, and unfortunately that craft failed. And just a few days ago, the Russians tried to re-land after a 47-year absence from the moon, and they failed as well. They previously done it. They actually sent craft, landed on the moon, picked up rocks and brought them back to the Earth. The Russians have their own moon rocks, not just the Americans. And China's currently orbiting the moon at the moment and has a lander on the surface also. So it's all go for the moon. India is pulling up, the world's most populous nation, and now a serious space-faring nation.
Yeah, what's the significance of the landing on the south pole of the moon?
Well, that's where we think will be the best place to have a permanent lunar space station, because the craters on the moon are quite deep, and some of them at the south pole, the sun never hits the floor of the crater. So the temperature there stays at minus 200 degrees Celsius. So any water either left over from the creation of the moon, or that was perhaps came from comets bombarding the moon, stays there for millions, perhaps billions of years. And that's a fantastic resource. It's very expensive to fly water from the Earth to the moon. So if it's there already, you can use it for people, obviously, but you can also make rocket fuel out of it using just sunlight. So it's a huge resource in its own right.
Now, there'll be an exploration element to this, of course. They'll successfully, if they haven't already, dispatch their, I'm not sure really what they're calling it, but their rover. And presume what kind of data might they be seeking to gather?
Yeah, well, this mission relies on sunlight. So the day on the moon is actually 14 Earth days long. So they'll have power for a 14-day mission. So everything's got to be crammed in there. So they'll be furiously testing out the systems, making sure everything works, and then getting the science missions underway. They want to look for that water. They can monitor moonquakes as well. The camera's already sent back its first photographs of the surface where it's landed. So it's going to be a very intense 14 days for scientists who would have put years, if not decades, of work into getting to where they are today for just that fortnight.
Obviously, it's a turbulent world at the moment and lots of disagreements in different parts of the world, not least among some of the names and countries that you mentioned there. But in terms of space exploration, what level of cooperation is there amongst the various countries, I wonder?
I was just thinking that myself the other night. Two nights ago, I think it was, we watched live a Russian robot craft being launched up to the International Space Station. And when you think of the relations between the Americans, particularly the Russians, in fact, the rest of the Western world, the fact that they're still cooperating in space, that right now there are Russians working alongside Americans on the International Space Station, I'd like to say you hold that hope for the future of the human race, but perhaps it's just one step. It does at least show, from the science and engineering point of view, people can work together, despite perhaps what the politicians may be getting up to, and they haven't ruined too much of the space industry. There have been some setbacks. Ukraine was a huge resource for building parts for space. They've got great rocket scientists there, and that's lost to Russia, lost to the rest of the world. A lot of them have fled, so it's going to be a bit of turmoil, but at least there is some light at the end of the tunnel. And the Indian Prime Minister said in his speech he hopes this is seen as a victory for the human race, not just for India.
Yeah, which is a carefully chosen language. So where does this leave us in terms of what we hope to achieve? I mean, humanity. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, Elon Musk has his sights set on Mars, and he has got, you know, great notions to put people on Mars in his lifetime. And yet here we have countries still sort of exploring what the moon might hold for us. So what is the goal, or what's the next big thing that these various parties are working towards, I wonder?
Yeah, we love writing about this in Astronomy Ireland every month. There is so much happening behind the scenes that you don't see in everyday life. So NASA's launched Artemis 1 mission, which was a huge moon rocket that went around the moon and is capable of carrying people last year. That worked perfectly. Now, the next mission is Artemis 2. The crew is selected. They're training at the moment. They should launch in about a year's time. And they're going to go around the moon with people on board this time, much riskier. Make sure that works. They won't land. But Artemis 3, probably 2025 is the chance it's going to slip. There'll be a crew that will land on the surface of the moon. First time since 1972. And the idea then is to set up a moon base. NASA's not just going back this time to do what they did, a PR stunt for the Cold War back in the 60s. This time is to build up a base and to use the moon as a stepping stone to Mars and beyond. And Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, all the billionaires of space companies are heavily involved. NASA subcontracts this out to them. Musk company, SpaceX, is building part of the rocket system that goes to the moon. So he's very much going to the moon because he's being paid to do so. But he is still building his 100-seater Mars ferry. Which seems crazy, but you see this thing gleaming in the sunlight, and as a private individual built this thing to take 100 people to Mars. We have never even sent more than that. We'll send 4 people to the moon to start with in this decade. So they have big plans, and I remember himself and Jeff Bezos both were on stage when they said they are going to put 1 million people on Mars by the end of this century. Now, if anybody else said that, you'd say they were crazy. But these guys, they don't just say things like that unless they've got a plan to get there.
When you see the difficulty countries have in landing things on the moon, there's been two failed attempts this year alone, if I'm not mistaken, China and Russia. It makes it all the more remarkable, and some might say unbelievable, what was achieved in the 70s with the technology that was available then.
Yeah, well, of course, it was early days then, and NASA was spending 5% of the U.S. federal budget. You wouldn't get that kind of money today, but $100 billion was spent. But it was a prestige project, and that's really what this mission is for India. It's to show, you know, that they're at the cutting edge, world-class scientists and engineers. And a lot of those people go on to work in industry. This is where the entire microelectronics industry came from. All your smartphones, laptops, things people are using to watch and listen to this now. That all came from the need to miniaturize electronics to go to the moon. And so you never know what the spin-offs are going to be. And you train your workforce to do the crazy kind of things they'd never normally do. And they see applications on the Earth. So NASA's often done studies of how many dollars do they get back for every one tax dollar that they invest. And it's usually, you hear varying figures between $3 and $7. So if you're at that level where you can spend billions on space, it can really benefit your economy.
Right, finally, and regular readers of Astronomy Ireland magazine would already know, but anything exciting happening on the ground, or at least something we can see from the ground?
We have two big events coming up. On Sunday, we're setting up telescopes to look at Venus while it's closest to Earth. We think less than 1 in 1 million people have ever seen that. You can do it on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Check out our website, astronomy.ie. And the big event is to see Saturn and Jupiter. I was looking at them myself in the telescope last night. On September 9th, we have the biggest annual star party, Starbecue, in the Wicklow Mountains. Everybody's invited for a barbecue, giant telescopes, wonders of the universe, huge lasers, trade shows, stands, exhibitions, great night out for the whole family. I mean, don't miss that. Astronomy.ie, get your tickets now.
Simple as. Thank you so much for your time, David Moore. That's David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland, 08660 25000. Our next guest now is Cormac.